Welcome to Neo Chats, an interview-style podcast focusing on educating neonatal nurses, caring for newborns and their families, hosted by Jenna Morton. It is a project of the Canadian Association of Neonatal Nurses, a nonprofit organization committed to the health and well-being of newborns and their families.
Welcome to the second episode in our eighth series of Neo Chats. I'm your host, Jenna Morton. This season, we're focusing on infectious diseases in the NICU. Each episode offers a short refresher on a particular disease, its pathology, how it impacts neonates, and what you as a NICU nurse should know about transmission, treatment, and more. Our first episode focused on RSV with Dr. Joanne Langley. You can go back and take a listen if you missed it. But first, stay and listen to Dr. Jeffrey Pernicka for a review of CMV. This is a common virus that a lot of people might have had without realizing, and something that could be scary if the families in your NICU hear this diagnosis. So we're going to give you some great information with Dr. Pernicka. He is the head of pediatric infectious diseases at McMaster University, where he's an associate professor. He's also the lead for the congenital CMV clinic at McMaster. Welcome to NeoChats, Dr. Pernicka.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me to talk about cytomegalovirus or CMV, because that's a little bit easier.
As a mom, you hear a lot of those letters and you get used to them, but it's always nice to hear both off the start. But can you kind of dive into that right from the start? What exactly is CMV?
I think a lot of people have not heard of CMV, but it's an unbelievably common virus. This is a virus that I would say that just about everyone catches at some point in their life. And like many other viruses in the herpes virus family, you know, similar to varicella virus or EBV, once you are infected by CMV, it stays in your body forever, right? This is something that you can catch at any stage of life, you know, really in any country of the world. And so is an unbelievably commonplace event. So commonplace, in fact, that I would say the vast majority of immunocompetent people who acquire CMV may not even notice that they are sick. And so it just sort of flies under the radar. What I routinely tell families is that CMV can cause problems for really two main groups of people. One is people with serious immune compromise. So, you know, after a solid organ transplant, for example, and two, fetuses. It can cause problems if the fetus catches CMV. Now, it gets to fetuses when their mothers are viremic. And what can happen there is that either the mother can acquire CMV for the first time during pregnancy, or, you know, it can just reactivate in a mother who acquired CMV before pregnancy. Given how common CMV is, given how common CMV circulates, you know, within toddlers and young school age kids, a good proportion of people of childbearing age will have acquired CMV before the pregnancy. And it gets to the fetus in one of these sort of intermittent reactivations that presumably happen all the time to the many of us who were infected with CMV earlier in life.
What then is the concern? You know, we're talking to our audience of NICU nurses who will be seeing babies who may be born, who have been impacted. What does that look like for these fetuses when they're born who've come in contact with CMV?
So traditionally, CMV has been recognized to have the potential to cause severe disease in the fetus and newborn infant. So if you read doctor books, you know, that were published, you know, looking at the experience decades ago, these children were described as having small heads, problems with cognitive development, and sometimes profound problems, chorioretinitis and eye problems, hearing loss, psychomotor retardation, so difficulty with this sort of the neurologic system in the body, in addition to other things that were evident at birth, such as low platelets, some degree of liver inflammation, conjugated hyperbilirubinemia, rash, this sort of thing. So this is what we would worry about in terms of fetal CMV infection. And this kind of severe disease is associated with acquisition of infection by the fetus in the first trimester. And this sort of makes sense, right? Like the first trimester is when all the important stuff is being made in the fetus. So CMV has the biggest chance to sort of disrupt these normal processes if it gets in there early. Now, what we have learned over the past 20 years is that even though you can absolutely see these kinds of severe manifestations of CMV disease, this is not the norm, right? And it is only now that we have diagnostics able to sort of pick up CMV that we realize that, you know, somewhere around 80 to 90% of babies infected with CMV, you know, as a fetus, have no discernible problems at birth, right? Like nothing. And so I often say to families that for all, when we're having a discussion about what could happen to a fetus, whereas there's a possibility of congenital infection, I say things like, you know, the vast majority of these babies look fine at birth. For all we know, I was born with congenital CMV. You were born with congenital CMV. CMV is a commonplace, ubiquitous virus, right? So this happens all the time. And if you look at studies where they have done screening, the proportion of babies with these most severe manifestations that really do have impact for the children and their families is very small. Much more common manifestations of CMV at birth are things that like low platelets, which tends to go away, and small derangements in liver blood work, which again tends to go away. And things that go away are not important in and of themselves. Now, the reason why CMV is still important even for those babies who do not appear to have any significant problems, any CMV-related problems at birth, is that a significant proportion of these, and by that I mean somewhere between 10 and 20% of babies that appear perfect at birth, will still go on to have sensory neural hearing loss at rates higher than sort of the general population. And this is why congenital CMV infection is the most common cause of acquired sensory neural hearing loss. This is the kind of hearing loss where it's a nerve problem. And so to fix it, you need something like a cochlear implant, right? And this is important because hearing is important to people. And so we in Ontario are lucky enough to live in a jurisdiction where screening is done, which permits follow-up with sort of expanded hearing screening for all of these babies until the age of five, because really after the age of five, the risk of developing hearing loss is the same for, you know, congenital CMV infected and non-infected babies. So the take-homes I would say are that CMV infection is very common. So viremia in people who are pregnant is common, and congenital CMV is therefore also common, somewhere between, you know, 0.5 to 1% of all babies born. But the majority of babies born with congenital CMV have no discernible abnormalities. And though all of those babies should be followed for the potential development of sensory neural hearing loss, most will not develop that.
So for our NICU nurses who maybe are dealing with a family that has had a diagnosis, what hopeful things, what practical things can our nurses be telling these families about a CMV diagnosis?
That'll depend on whether the baby has symptoms or not. So what I would generally recommend to all NICU nurses is that any baby who has a symptom or sign suggestive of CMV infection should be tested. That is critical because there is a time limit on our ability to diagnose congenital CMV. Really, you need to have the diagnostic test done within 3 weeks of birth. And the reason for that is because CMV is so common that if you detected it in some baby who's 6 weeks old, we don't know if that baby was infected in utero or if they got it from, you know, their neighbor that came over to kiss the baby. The second thing that I would say is that any baby with a symptom who tests positive should be evaluated fully. And the reason I say that is because though severe disease in congenital CMV infection is not common, it can be important, as we talked about previously, right? Like cognitive maldevelopment is an actual problem. Eye disease is an actual problem. You know, hearing loss is an actual problem. Any baby with one of these higher risk symptoms, we would consider for actual treatment. We would routinely recommend antiviral therapy, in which is most commonly valganciclovir, for at least 6 months in any baby with a significant symptom, because that has been shown in randomized trials to decrease the likelihood of hearing loss and improve developmental outcomes. Now, this is a minority of babies with congenital CMV. Most babies with congenital CMV have nothing, or they have like low platelets, which tends to go away on its own and is not necessarily an indication for treatment. But it is always good for nurses to be aware, because they're the ones who know the babies best besides the parents. You know, I would say that as a physician, I am very thankful to nurses who say, you know, there is this funny rash on the baby's back. Could you take a look at it? Because that could be important. I don't think this baby is moving as much as I would like. They seem to be a little floppy. They're not really sucking. You know, there are these dots on the baby. Could this be petechial? All of these things are important because all of them are clues to the diagnosis of congenital CMV and are absolutely an indication for a definitive diagnostic test. And in some cases, you know, would be an indication for therapy. And so that, I think, is an unbelievably useful thing that NICU nurses can do. This definitive diagnostic testing that I just alluded to is urine or saliva PCR. This is one of the few things, I think, in medicine where the blood test is not the best. We really need that urine PCR for CMV or saliva PCR to CMV to make the diagnosis and permit assessment of a management plan. And for a baby with no obvious symptoms, which is going to be the majority of babies, the keystone of management is going to be expanded hearing screening and close developmental follow-up. So in my jurisdiction, all these babies, you know, the ones who don't have any worrisome symptoms, they just get followed more closely by the pediatricians than they otherwise would. Anybody with a symptom that is more, you know, important from a functionality perspective, and examples that I give to parents and other clinicians are things like small heads, abnormal brain imaging, you know, abnormal neurologic exam, this kind of thing, we would generally recommend antiviral treatment.
That's wonderful. Is there anything that we haven't touched on about CMV that you would like our listeners to take away?
There is often a disconnect between what people believe about congenital CMV and the reality. And this disconnect can exist for both clinicians and lay people. For clinicians who trained reading books about medicine, the description of congenital CMV seems more scary than what I would say would be typical. And while it's important to be aware that there can be severe outcomes, I think parents and families benefit from hearing about, you know, what the prognosis is most likely to be, because that can sometimes be reassuring. For lay people, you know, I don't think I need to. I think everyone's familiar with the fact that the internet is sometimes a crazy place, and so we sometimes get wildly variable impressions about what this means for their baby based on what they have read. There are now lots of good places to go, you know, on the internet that are hosted by either children's hospitals or congenital CMV screening programs that can often be of service families.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Jeffrey Prinniga is an associate professor at McMaster University, where he's the head of the Pediatric Infectious Disease Department. His work focuses on the diagnosis and management of respiratory and enteric infections in children. He is also the regional lead for the Ontario CMV Newborn Screening Program.
NeoChats is a project of the Canadian Association of Neonatal Nurses. This podcast is supported by Sanofi Canada as part of an educational sponsorship. Sanofi Canada has not influenced the selection of interviewees, questions, or editing of the content. The content producer and host is Jenna Morton. Technical production by Tosh Taylor of the Podcast Hub. For more information on the association, visit our website at www.neonatalcan.ca or our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram pages.